this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Sir, how you doing? How you doing? Ole is officially at the wheel. 3 points. Ugly win, but hey, I'll take it. Every point matters now in the race for the top four.
Ole is at the wheel, 3-year deal. It's official, $21 million all in, so around $7 million a year.
Cheap
compared to Jose Mourinho and the amount of money. That's probably the amount of money we paid Mourinho to leave. It's what we're giving Ole to stay for 3 years. I'm super pumped that we can call him the gaffer, sir, at Manchester United. He sure as hell earned it. 15 wins from 20 in charge. And he won his first 8 games, and that included 6 straight EPL matches, which tied the all-time record, and he gets to share the record with Pep Guardiola and Carlos Ancelotti. Not bad company. How are you feeling, sir, about this deal?
Sir, not bad a company at all. It's unbelievable. I can't believe it's been 20 games. I know the 20th game, of course, was Watford, the win we're about to break down, but 10 games, they should have known, shouldn't they? I mean, this should have been done a month ago, right?
Yeah, I would question the timing, especially at the end of international break, right before the Watford match, when we're in like a top four battle of our lives here to stay in Champions League football contention. But at the end of the day, I'll take it, right? It's not ideal timing. We probably should have done it like a month ago, but we can't control that. Ed Woodward's kind of, fumbling. You know, I mean, he's got a lot of things going on. He's signing noodle deals left and right, and he finally got to Ole. So Ole's the manager of Manchester United, and we got to like look forward. I'm not going to break down or question the timing too much because we got to hope they're planning on this summer and that Ole can now focus on top four. And it looks like it's going to be a nervy battle based on the form we're in over these last 3 matches.
It's going to be a nervy battle for sure. It's going to be a nervy battle because a lot of teams that we're fighting for those 2 spots are in better, as good a form as us. Probably not better. I don't think anyone's in better form at the moment. But well deserved.
Arsenal beat us, right?
They're in better form. They're probably in better form.
They have easier matches as well. We have the toughest schedule.
They beat Newcastle today. But this appointment's good because this gets done, then DOF is done, and then the sooner you get stuff like this done, the sooner you can sign players because they got to know who the manager is going to be when they join next season, and all uncertainty has now been gotten rid of. So one thing done, let's move on to the next. Let's get a DOF in and then start signing some players, retain the ones we need to, which we will get to a little bit later, won't we?
Yeah, and by DOF, you mean director of football, someone who can actually focus on the footballing side of the business and let Ed Woodward spend all his days thinking of commercial relationships and making more money for Manchester United so the director of football can then spend it in the transfer market. Sir, but let's get to that big match. Top four implications. Manchester United 2, Watford 1, at home, Old Trafford, Old T, the Fortress. We came out with the 4-3-1-2. Dave saves in net. Shaw, Jones, Smalling, and Young back four locked in. The Pogba, Matic, and Herrera midfield that didn't really come off against Wolves. And then we put Mata in the hole and Martial and Rashford up top. What do you think about this lineup going into this game?
Sir, I mean, I was excited, except for seeing Phil Jones at first. but this midfield three, I mean, this is the midfield three that came out really flat against Wolves. They're probably our starting midfield three when everyone's healthy, you would think, on paper. So they got to step up. I was expecting big things from them. And then I was actually pretty excited to see Mata play in the hole, where he probably plays best, and a front two of Martial and Rashford. So I was excited. I didn't have to wait long to get less excited based on the way we came out. But what were your thoughts when you saw this lineup?
I mean, I had my concerns, especially, you never know how international break's going to work. You get 2 weeks. Some players had some knocks and stayed. Some players end up going to international duty. And here you kind of get these 3 players, Pogba, Matic, and Herrera. And based on their performance, I'd like for him to maybe put a Pereira in or a McTominay, get some more energy, some more sense of urgency in the middle of the park because we came out in the first half, sir. We should jump right in, and we were flat. Watford, clearly the better team. They pinned us back, and in the 3rd minute, De Lufeo, dangerous, finds Deeney in the box, but thank God Troy Deeney can't do much with the ball. And in the seventh, more from Watford. Decore wanders forward and swaps passes with Pereira and slaps a shot wide of De Gea's right hand, hits the post. I mean, dangerous stuff for the first 2 minutes. United looking completely flat. Worst case scenario, as far as I was concerned, after losing at Arsenal and losing at Wolves, getting bounced from the FA Cup, we go international break. We hope that the boys can come out and boss it at home, and we look like a side. This looks like Mourinho ball to me. I mean, we looked real out of it.
Well, in worst case scenario, would be us conceding, I think, in the first 10 minutes, but it was not a right statement of intent. We certainly didn't come out like we're the better side. So disappointing because, you know, we got some good stuff later in the game, but didn't look necessarily like it was going to happen that way because I think we were really effective at taking our chances. But a lot of times Watford look like the better team. They certainly play with a lot more energy and a lot more just like general gumption. And we just seem to be kind of sitting back, reverting to those maybe those Mourinho tactics that sometimes, you know, it's hard to
ditch
the old legacy stuff.
This is mentality. Hey, this is complete mentality. And if you can't get up for this game, get on the bench. That's the way it goes. Ole's got to be ruthless, just like Sir Alex was. And my only criticism right now is Ole ruling with an iron fist? Now that he has the full-time job, I mean, he's got to grab this team by the scruff of the neck and get him out there playing. We have a serious battle for top four. I mean, his job should basically depend on making top four. That's why I question the timing and if it affects the players.
Jobs is.
No, I know, but if everyone on the team was fighting for him to get the job, that they knew that he had to get top four to get it, I think that's more than fair for Ole to say, hey, you got to get top four to get the full-time job. I mean, because we should have beat Arsenal. We should be well on our way. We wouldn't have
been in the top four race if it wasn't for Ole, right? Other than the run that we went on, the Arsenal game wouldn't have mattered in the way it did, where it was like, oh, you know, other.
Yeah, but you should say, oh, we should be terrible, and then Ole wouldn't be our manager anyway. So at the end of the day,
the first 10 games, first 15 games. This is the 20th game now, and it's like, at that point, what are you going to do? You can't wait to the end of the season, because then players aren't going to want to join United, because they're not going to know. They're always going to want to join United, because it's Manchester United. But it helps to solidify our transfer policy, to get players in by them knowing who the manager is going to be.
Hey, it's not working for general morale and just having the boys come out and want to make runs. Look at how when Mourinho left, we were leading the league in sprints. You look at that Watford game, Watford was running around the pitch. It's not the wages. It's not the talent.
What was that stat you just touted? When Mourinho left, we led the league in sprints?
When Mourinho left, our first two games after, we were the most active team. The energy that we played with was completely different. We were going forward, and you come out again. We have a very look at Wolves. Look at this Watford match. You have to question the players that are being put on the field because they're not getting up for the job. And Paul P is one of them, right? We're gonna say, is this head in the game? I mean, we have a critical race for top four, and you know the effort of these players on the field has to be questioned in the first 20 minutes here at Watford. We're at home. You know, this is a must-win match.
It's the effort and it's just the level of intensity and the focus, right? Matic, he wasn't the fastest on the pitch, but he was also giving away passes that he would never be giving away when he's playing in top form. So maybe it's too much changes. Maybe it's not enough changes, right? All these players that earned a lot of the good results that Ole had during the injury crisis of the last 6 weeks, you know, with Paris and all, like maybe they shouldn't have been bumped from the team as soon as Matic comes back, right? McTominay certainly should be up for a snuff because of all the performances he's put in to get Ole the position he's in right now. So I think, right, we had this game. He put the same squad out. They came out pretty flat. Next game is huge, right? You're going to play the same Wolves team that lost to Wolves 2 weeks ago?
We're kicking the can. We're just waiting for a disastrous loss at the way we're coming out and playing these games. As a fan, I'm like thrilled that we got the 3 points, but I'm going to be honest about what we saw out there. We saw Louis van Gaal came out this past week over international break and said, yo, United aren't playing like the days of old. They're literally parking the bus and hitting teams on the counter. What I saw was us in our own third, pretty much for the majority of the first and second half in these games. I mean, this Watford game, and we're playing at home and we got to win. We should be bossing the teams, but we're not. And that's something that's like, if it turns into a trend, it's critical that the gaffer turn it around. And Fergie knew that if you had a disappointing loss, it didn't matter. You got to bounce back. That's really the key. We got to bounce back.
And I think he needs to mess with the starting 11 a little bit. I don't think it's going to be the same midfield three we're going to see tomorrow against Wolves. So that's the best way to affect a team is, right, starting 11. Who's going to be playing? No spot should be safe. I don't think he's going to drop Pogba, but after that performance, should be on the table.
Ole is not dropping Pogba, sir. I know he's not. But there was, you know, for all the glass half empty talk we have here on this podcast, because we do have to slate the boys. We have to call like we see it when they come out. I mean, I was disappointed. We were sitting here on the couch. We were like ripping the players and the team in this opening 20 minutes. But you know what? There is a player on that pitch.
There's a couple.
Who's the next Ronaldo, sir? His name is Marcus Rashford. He's a red. And in the 28th minute.
Shaw, interception. Breaks on here. He's found a gorgeous ball. Rashford's in here. Can put Manchester United ahead. Does put Manchester United ahead. Classic counter-attack. They've been often outplayed in the first half an hour here, but Manchester United lead, and it's Rashford again.
Football's incredible, isn't it? Second best, Man United find themselves ahead. Credit Marcus Rashford, but big credit to Luke Shaw. He won a challenge on the edge of his own box. Saw the run of Rashford, who we talked about. He's always on the shoulder looking to get in behind. But he needed to be found. Luke Shaw found that pass. Excellent work from the left back. Looked up, the composure, the ability to find that pass. It's a wonderful ball. And cool as well from Marcus Rashford, just to lift it over Ben Foster. United have been on the back foot for 27 minutes. And then Marcus Rashford does that.
Sir, speaking of a counter-attack goal, all from sitting in the back and then a good tackle from Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw picks out Rashford with an unbelievable pass. Some would say world-class pass. And then,
that's world-class.
No doubt. And then Marcus Rashford with a great finish, showing that deft touch that I think he's acquiring under Ole. So great goal. And just speaking of counter-attacking goals, that is a counter-attacking goal right there.
I mean, this is some Mourinho tactics, sir. I mean, really, you couldn't draw it up anymore. Like, sit back and then hit him on that quick counter. Marcus Rashford playing number nine and, you know, doing a great job. Unbelievable finish. Still a lot to do. Luke Shaw, I mean, that's a pog pass right there if I've ever seen one. And, you know, he's looking like the nailed on starting left back at Manchester United, which is no easy task there for Luke Shaw.
Yeah, I mean, for a game where a couple of the players in the defense didn't have the best of days, him, Luke Shaw and Jonesy had unbelievable days and probably kept us in this game, probably kept it so they only conceded one goal in the 90th minute. So great goal and just showing a little bit of, you know, why it's nice to have some world-class, close to world-class players on your team.
Close to world-class players.
On their way.
Yeah, that's what Manchester United needs, close to world-class, like Sanchez, sir. And you thought this goal might wake up the boys, but it didn't. Watford, more of the ball, more chances going in at half. Finally, whistle blows. I'm like, thank God. We're going to halftime up a goal. I'm sure Ole is going to like throw the hairdryer at him. And we came out in the second half with more of the same. What is Ole saying to the boys? What is he thinking? What's going through his head? What do you think?
I don't know. It was surprising because we were expecting maybe a change. Change could have been justified. At least a change in performance, a change in mentality when they came out in the second half at home. They're playing at home. After all, but we didn't see much of that because in the second half, it was more of the same. He didn't make any subs, and arguably, I think it took him too long to make a sub in the second half. He made a double, which is probably the right move because we needed to complete a jolt to the system based on the way we were performing at home, like just pretending like we were cruising at 3-0. We had a 1-0 lead, and they had a lot of the ball and a number of decent chances, so worrisome stuff. I think that's why you're as upset as you are, sir, is because this is not the kind of reaction we want to see from United after losing two games in a row, and this is critical points to be winning at home against the Watford side.
Yeah, and I just wonder what the you know, the Carricks, the McKennas, the Phelans, and the Solskjaers of the world are doing in that locker room, because they got to be telling the boys that we need a lot more energy in this midfield. He's got to be talking to Matic, Herrera, and Pogba. I mean, those three players get the majority of my slating. That back four held well. Rashford did well. Mata in the hole, he performed well. Martial kind of, I mean, we'll get to his goal later, but at the end of the day, the issue is in the middle of the pitch. And when you can't defend and link up the attack, you got nothing. And we were just in our final, in our own third. And like you said, second half came out more of the same. United content sitting back, like Louis van Gaal said famously. I want to say he was full of shit, but, you know, he actually was right. If you look at this game,
he was right in this game. I think we were reverting to, I mean, really, ex-girlfriend tactics. And this is not the way we had been playing under Ole. winning under Ole, which is the most important tactic there is, but it's not what you want to be seeing, because a lot of the good wins we'd had were when the team showed a lot of energy, were running all over the pitch. Matic took a step too slow. I can't believe he played the whole 90 minutes, which was kind of amazing. Maybe he's been told, you're not playing, Wolves. But you got to see this double sub earlier. We got a 62-minute double sub, but I think you do that 55th minute. Because
it was the right call by the manager.
It was.
Lingard and Pereira on for Herrera, and Mata completely changed things up. A lot more energy from Lingard on the right, Pereira in the midfield, and I really rate Pereira these days. He does have a high work rate. That's what we need in that midfield. It's getting stale with Herrera and Matic. I don't know why I thought Herrera and Matic coming in would make us better, but as we saw with the young blood, we played our best Manchester United football with the youngsters in the team. It's with true. The Chong, Greenwood, get him in. You know, that's...
No, McTominay, really. Yeah. I mean, like, the McTominay, Pereira, Fred, even. I mean, they were playing with a lot of energy, and they were certainly playing like guys that are trying to earn a role. So maybe it's complacency, maybe it's age, maybe it's, I don't know, a combination of factors, but I think it's time for a switch when we go to Wolves, because that's a team that beat us 2 weeks ago, same stadium, same setup. I think if we show up with that midfield three, we're going to lose.
Yeah, you know, it's the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over with the same results. So I hope the manager might change up the squad, sir. But you know, that double sub did impact the match. You didn't have to wait too long. 72nd minute.
Martial. Rashford. Martial's got it again. Pereira. Lingard. Martial couldn't quite get it in. Can he now? Yes, he can. 2-0 Manchester United, and again, it's a sucker punch from Manchester United. Under pressure for most of this half, but they sprung out and scored, and that might put this to bed.
Goal from Anthony Martial, sir. I equate this to one of your FIFA goals. This is what I like to call a sloppy Joe. I will take it. We needed that goal. Lingard kind of ran down the byline, Pereira found him, and he puts it into Martial, bounces off Foster's hands. Martial gets up and scoops over the line, and, you know, look, we get that crucial second goal, and we would come to need it, right?
Sir, it doesn't always have to be pretty. Look at Liverpool's second goal against Tottenham. As long as it goes in the net, it's all that really matters. Nice build-up, to be fair, and Martial a good chance the first time. You know, good from Foster, but never give up, never surrender, and you get the goal, and that goal ended up being a huge goal, sir, because...
Huge goal. And it came from both players who were subbed, were involved in the goal, so credit to Ole. He does have a knack. When he does change it, he waits a little bit, but when he does change it, his changes come off.
Because Pereira and Lingard look good in the box. I wish they had more time in the box in this game. So I think those players are going to feature for sure against Wolves.
Yeah, is Herrera's head somewhere else? Is Pogba's head somewhere else?
Certainly look like it.
That does affect a player on a pitch as much as you wouldn't think so. You think they'd be focused on that badge first and foremost. Speaking of playing for the badge, sir, 77th minute sub, Marcus Rojo on for Anthony Martial. Let's just lock it up at the end of the game. And I said, Rojo, never play again for Manchester United.
Eat that sandwich.
Walking that back. Hey, at least I admit when I need to walk it back. That's more than I can say for most. But Marcus Rojo, hey, good to see him in there. He was involved in an altercation. Rojo elbows out. A lot of bad tattoos. Love to have him on my five-a-side team. Marcus Rojo.
Hey, if you're ever going out for a night out and, you know, you find yourself in a dark alley, I'd like to have Marcus Rojo behind me and his kneecap tattoos. But it was good to see him back because, hey, Mark, you were wrong. you were pretty sure we'd never see him again. So another option for Ole off the bench.
Yeah, there you go. Marcus Rojo comes good. I don't know if he'll be re-signing another deal. We shall see. And like we said, that goal that Martial scored was so critical because in the 89th minute...
Poo looking for a little 1-2, and he's got right through here and scored. Watford get a goal they do deserve on the day. And Abdoulaye Doucouré has scored it.
It's an excellent goal as well. And it may well set up a grandstand finish.
Goal from Doucouré and Watford kind of ping-pongs around. He gets the ball, and he does finish nicely. I would have to say he did play well against us today. And, you know, a midfielder that looks dangerous, something that we could use at Manchester United, cut rate, price.
I don't know if it's cut rate. Doucouré's a player and a name that I could learn how to say, sir. He's a good player, and he looked good in this. And honestly, it was probably deserved. They played well enough to at least get one goal, so... whew, thankfully it was the 89th minute, and thankfully there was only 3 minutes of stoppage time because they had a decent chance.
It was still nervy.
You know, they had a free kick in like the 93rd minute that they just did nothing with.
Yeah. Lazy defending from Jesse. Then he fouls him. He gives him a free kick in a great position. Thank God Messi doesn't play for Watford because that didn't even have a chance going in. Should have been.
Let's not do that against Barcelona.
Yeah, let's not do that against Barca. But hey, that was all she wrote. 3 points wasn't a... You know, kind of when you start watching games like this and you start creating like, you almost like create false equivocations of why, you know, we're like watching this team that's not playing well now. We knew that they were playing well, always at the wheel. Everyone's singing that at the top of their lung. I mean, like, it was just craziness around Old Trafford. Now the magic has faded. This is three games right now. We're looking 3 in a row.
You got the win, so that people are going to remember the win. They're going to remember the 3 points. They're going to remember the result. They're not going to remember it if we beat Wolves. They're not going to remember how we played against Watford.
Yeah, but Wolves are a better side.
They are.
Quick turnaround, and again, it's away. So if you're going to play like that at home, you know, Saturday against Watford, what's in store tomorrow at Wolves, sir? I got my fingers crossed here, hoping that Paul Pogba, you know, could really step up and like grab two. He's due for a brace, right? Hasn't been involved. He's almost been like looks lazy out there. I mean, we'll get to some of your comments.
He looks like
later.
He's headed somewhere else. I mean, he looks like he is distracted. And you know what? It's funny you said Herrera because he looked distracted, and then all of a sudden there's a shit ton of noise coming out today. So it's actually nice that we waited to release this pod because there's plenty to talk about.
It's going to be a hell of a pod. So our match reaction stats-wise, United 52% of the ball to Watford's 48%. Shots on target, United's 5 to Watford's 8. They clearly outshot us in all categories, on target, off target, and they did hit the post. So again, squeaking by with 3 points, I'll take it. But again, I'm looking at Wolves. I need a reaction out of the players. I need that mentality. Hey! Manchester United have won 11 of their last 12 Premier League matches against Watford, losing the other in September 2016. So like you said, we were due, and the bookies had us heavy favorites. This is the first time since the 1995-96 season, which featured Scholes, Cole, Giggs, Cantona, that Manchester United have had 4 players score 10-plus goals in a single Premier League campaign.
There you go.
That's Martial, Rashford, Lukaku, and Paul P. So,
that's a nice,
you know,
stat,
it's
sir.
All in vain if we don't get that top 4 position or win the league. So, we can't do the latter. So, we're going to have to say
winning
make
the
top
league
4.
Might be just out of our grasp.
No, I know. But, like, let's not we're talking about making top 4. But that is not something that Manchester United concerns themselves with. We care about winning the league. So we're going to spend hashtag Woodward350 this summer, right? And since his debut for Manchester United in February 2016, Marcus Rashford has scored 45 goals for the club in all competitions, more than any other player in that period.
And as much as you want to talk about him being in bad form, he has scored 3 in the last 4. So Marcus Rashford just keeps chugging along under Ole, showing that cool finish. Last stat, Man United goalkeeper David De Gea made 7 saves in this match, only versus Spurs in August 2011. With 9 in Liverpool in December 2014 with 8, has he made more in a Premier League game at Old Trafford? And those are different opponents, so it is an interesting one in this case, sir.
So Dave saves, overworked and underpaid. Woodward, I know you're listening. Get that deal done. Again, PSG, Real Madrid, lurking. But, sir, what do we know? Let's check in with the manager.
Yeah, well summarized. It's the first 20 minutes where we started so slow and sloppy, and you could see that we've had players out with injuries, international break. We've not really been able to train them that much, and so it's one of them first games after international breaks that you're looking forward to them, but you know there might be a potential banana skin because Watford are a good side. They didn't have that many players away, and I think they deserve to take the lead. But after we scored, after that counter-attack, great goal, by the way. I thought the rest of the first half we played some great counter-attacking stuff. Defended well, we had to, because they were dominant. But I thought Chris and Jonah especially was fantastic, kept us in it. Second half again, we started a bit sloppy. But I felt after 2-0 we were in control until they scored, and then anything can happen. But 3 points, that's all you can get.
3 points, that's all you can get.
Sloppy and slow. I think Ole was being a little generous. Played a little gamesmanship. I can't blame him. Sounds like Fergie back in the day, but I hope the dressing room is a little bit more turned up than that press conference.
I hope so. I hope Ole's, you know, give him the full hairdryer. He knows what it is to win at Manchester United, and he has every right to enforce that on those players, right? If they're going to act that way, I mean, borderline, you know, every time I see Pog jog in the midfield, you know, I kind of lose my cool. So, you know, I bet you he's got to be saying something. He's got the job now. He's got to be able to slate these players. Let's check in with, speaking of players, Andres Pereira had a good game.
Really, the most important thing is the result.
Yeah, so it's very important we got the 3 points today to keep fighting for the top four. And yeah, like you said, we didn't start off well. We didn't play our best football today, but the most important thing is the 3 points.
You obviously had an impact as a substitute. You were involved in what turned out to be the winner. What do you remember of that?
Yeah, it was a nice ball. Anthony saw me on the other side that was free. And after that, when I saw Jesse doing the overlap, I could play him the ball and he crossed it to Anthony and he could finish it off, so nice ball.
Decent finish in the end because he had to, it was his second attempt really, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think he slipped and then he put it in, so I'm very happy for him.
I mean, Pereira says it well. It didn't start well. It's all about the result. We got the 3 points. I mean, I do rate him with the rumor of Herrera maybe shipping out. I mean, Pereira, he's ready to step in. I actually rate him highly, the work rate, the energy. Going forward as well, he has that extra threat, a little more than Herrera, kind of sits a little too deep. Herrera is a workhorse, but again, it's not, you know, he's ready to step up. The youngster's ready to step up.
He is, and he's plays a slightly different position, probably a little more creative going forward, but he's a worker, he's young, he is Brazilian, and if it's true what's being talked about with Herrera, he's going to be even more valuable for this club, so I think he's got a role to play. I'd like to see him feature in some capacity against Wolves because him, McTominay's, even the Freds, right? The often slated Freds, they're all...
Even the Freds.
They're still fighting for a spot, man, right? They're not like the first name to be selected in the midfield, so they know that. And I think they're going to go out there and you know, you're not going to have to question their work rate the way we've had to question some of these players' work rates in the last two games at least.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But hey, we got some headlines, sir. And is Alex's Daily Mail headlines tomorrow, today? Give it to us.
Sir, first things first, long may he reign. Let's not forget, congratulations to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer on being appointed to a 3-year deal and as our permanent manager. Lots of issues in this club and the squad to be ironed out, but ultimately, this is a positive move. Probably took too long, but hey, better late than never. Let's get things done now.
Couldn't agree more. Long may he reign. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Sir, next headline.
Oh, and it pains me, sir, because he was playing lights out probably for the first 15 games under Ole. But, baby, ain't no lie, baby. Pog bye-bye. Stepping up my game. Pog with insistence on flirting with Real Madrid after they appoint Zidane, after everything Ole has done to make him the main man, the fact that he's still doing this is a massive indictment on the player. And I think it's likely that Fergie was right all along, and we might be shopping for midfielders this summer, more places than one, not even just talking about Herrera, but might be looking to do a whole overhaul.
We talk about Pog drama. What about Pog cash money?
$200 million, dude. $200 million.
Real would pay a lot for him. So either or, he stays, we win. He leaves, we really win, because the valuation is going to be probably $200 million. And I like to think Edward, hashtag Woodward 350, and is going to be splashing the cash.
It's a team that has a bunch of players that they're looking to offload, and we would gladly take. I mean, one of them is probably they don't want to offload in Varane, but, dude, I would do a Varane, Kroos, and like $50 million and be happy.
You're the new director of football, well, sir. I like that deal. Madrid probably wouldn't. Next headline.
The next headline, if you can't beat them, poach them. So according to Duncan Castles, we were talking about earlier in the pod, Tier 3, Herrera is set to sign a 3-year deal at £200 a week to join PSG at the end of the season. Are you sad to see him go? I mean, people talk about big money. It's because they don't have to pay a fee, right? There's no fee to pay the club because he's coming on a free, so you can pay him more money. Everyone thinks it's a little rich for Ander Herrera, but what are your thoughts, sir?
That's rich for Herrera for sure. And, you know, Herrera did... He has all this content around him talking about how much he loves Manchester United, and you know he's, you know, United through and through. And then for him to basically like go to PSG for more money is kind of funny. At some point,
if it
right?
happens, if it was to happen,
if it were to happen. So I'm going to say it's smoke right now. could be something from his agent. But again, you do say the new modern trend in football contracts is that if you're on a free, you can get juiced wages. And so it, if you think about the money, what is Manchester United going to pay him? They're going to give Rashford 150, Herrera to be at 200. It doesn't make sense for him to be making more than Rashford. Sometimes he's not even the starting 11. I mean, this whole wage inflation game is hard. So
Sanchez is rearing its ugly head once again.
They give him 150 for sure, or maybe, you know, 140 a week. But for Herrera to say all that stuff about how he likes United and then to want to leave, I mean, I'm not going to indict him yet because...
But it is tier three. Like you said, yeah. It's not like Pogba saying stuff publicly about how much he likes another player and would love, it'd be a dream to play for Real Madrid. So as you said, you're right. If he does end up going, it's like he has been talking high and mighty about United, a player that's often touted, especially by us, as a potential future captain. So if he was to go to PSG on a big money deal.
But he's a cheeky Spaniard, and if he went to PSG, he'd be kissing their badge all day too. So I'm gonna discount all Herrera's love for United. I'm sure he likes the club, but again, if he leaves for PSG all about the Benjamins, then you know he kind of was tricking us all along. I don't want to believe that, so I'm going to say, hey, tier three, we shall see. There's going to be a lot more transfer muppetry coming along, sir. We will be breaking it down.
It's been a long summer.
Speaking of transfer muppetry, let's jump into the Twitterverse, sir. We had a Twitter poll this week. Will Pog stay or will Pog go? And 65% of the American Red Devils said Pogba stays this summer. 35% says Pogba goes to Madrid. Lots of comments, replies about screw him. If he wants to leave, let him. We don't want someone to be at Manchester United. So a lot of the fans, strong voices about Paul Pogba. They do not like him talking about Real Madrid. But again, the majority thinks he will stay. What do you think, sir? You think if you were to vote right now, Pog stays, Pog goes. What do you think?
Yeah, it's probably 50-50, honestly. It's probably a coin toss based on the fact that he probably really wants to go.
Yeah, he wants to go. And his agent wants to go. He's incentivized right. financially to
United,
go. He'll get
United
more
wants
money.
To hold on to him. I think, okay, Edward Woodward probably wants to hold on to him. I think depending on how the rest of the season plays out with his performances under Ole might be in a position where he's like, hey, dude, this guy is not worth it in the sense that he's not consistent enough. He's not a team player all the time. He's kind of a Me Too guy. So we can ship him for $200 million, or maybe we can do a swap deal with Real Madrid and cash. So I don't think he's going to go.
People are going to be fired up.
He's not going to have a say. I don't think Edward's going
to say. People are going to be fired up.
I don't think Ole's going to have a say in this. I think Edward's going to say he's staying. So I think Pogba stays.
So he's through 2021. He's got 2 years left on his deal. So the most amount of money we could get for him would be this summer. So there's something to say about that fact, right? Here's the question. The rumor is we gave him the new deal, maybe get him to 350, kind of in the stratosphere with Sanchez, and apparently he turned it down. That was the rumor.
What's
so
the rumor?
We don't know what's going on behind closed doors, obviously, but if there's a Pogba attitude problem with Ole and Ole's feeling that vibe, I'm sure he'll give Woodward the nod to get him out the door, because at the end of the day, you can't fix that attitude. And if he wants to go to Madrid, just like Ronaldo, ship him to Madrid and just get that big payday for Manchester United. And this summer, although it breaks my heart to admit, and I know the fans are going to freak out, it's like, I think Pogba will most likely go. The stars will align. We'll finish the season. I think based on his style of play lately, he can turn it around, but you know, him flirting with Madrid and then coming out of Watford kind of yogging. I saw him and Ole had an exchange on the sideline too. And that didn't look like it was kind of like, yo bro, like start, like start
didn't
playing.
Look like the first 10 games,
you know, he's got the skills.
Dude,
no
he
one's
can
gonna
turn
deny
around.
That.
It's all on Pogba. Right?
He's world class, so, mate.
He plays up to his ability. He's like unplayable, but you could tell something's been off.
And it's Pog drama, dude. That's all it is.
It's always Pog drama. We're talking about Pog drama with Mourinho. I think we're going to be talking about Pog drama until Pogba moves on somewhere else.
Yeah, and this is one of those things that you'll realize. Mourinho probably didn't do himself any favors. Like, Ole is he's very careful with Pogba. He gives him everything he wants. He says everything nice, and at the end of the day, Pogba's still flirting with Madrid. So just remember, Mourinho probably, like, started the drama pretty early and often, trying to put his thumb on him, because Pogba likes to get on that gram and ruffle feathers. Next tweet, sir. This is our tweet, at USA Red Devils. Ugly game. Take the 3 points. But we can't show up like that against Wolves away. That is for sure. Tomorrow, it's a nervy match. We'll be breaking it down. Wolves away. I mean, if we play like we did against Watford, we might be dropping some points here, Chelsea style, unless we can get some calls.
That was a hell of a call. I've never seen an offside call like that. But we cannot show up like we did at home. We have to rekindle that away form in the Premier League that we, you know, kind of lost at the Emirates when we lost 2-0. When I think we should have won, I think a lot of fans think we should have won, and we got to get that back, get that Ole train, up and humming again, and just get that away form, because that's going to be key to us finishing the top four. We need to start with a win away at Wolves and get the momentum back.
Next tweet, at Rance in Bance. If you give Herrera 200K, how much money are you giving Rashford? ?/laughing emoji. Some of you fans have no sense. Ed did the right thing. #MUFC. I mean, this says it all. I think the Herrera money is just too much money. And if Herrera's all about the Benjamins, I say let him go to PSG. I'm not that worried about it. Herrera's not like, I'd be more worried about Pogba leaving if he didn't have the attitude issue. And then I'd be more worried about Herrera leaving if he was the bang-on starter, you know, for the last 3 years, which he hasn't really been.
I'm more worried about De Gea leaving.
Exactly.
More worried about
Rashford.
I do like Herrera. I rate him, and I think he could be a really valuable player. I don't know, at 200K, but I think this all comes back to the Sanchez deal really biting us in the ass over and over again. Part of it is also Ed. Hopefully this is part of a larger plan, right? So if you're going to let Herrera walk, you have a plan, you're going to get someone else in. So
yeah, there's no director of football. No plans, sir. What plan are you talking about? There's no plan.
Driving blind. So I'm assuming that they have someone else coming in. But if they don't, then good luck.
I think we're watching a train wreck in slow motion right now. Perfect. As it relates to the Sanchez wage deal. All these players winning these bumper contracts all come and do at the same time. Ed Woodward with a tight pocketbook. Just appointing Ole, trying to get new players in. It's going to be
April
a crazy...
1st, man. Clock is ticking, sir.
I mean, this is pure Muppetry here on this podcast. So, next tweet, at United Extra. United are confident of agreeing to deals over the next 8 days for Mike Phelan, Michael Carrick, and Kieran McKenna to remain at the club per Sky Sports. So again, Ole is the manager. The backroom staff, which we hear in rumors, is very important, very involved in the operations day-to-day for this club, especially Mike Phelan. They aren't signed up yet, so these deals got to be done. They got to be done quick. I'm going to be looking for this news coming out next week and need Mike Phelan to stay long-term.
Need Mike Phelan. We need the whole crew locked down because that's part of the Ole magic. This squad's come together, you know, this coaching squad, and just has like a great mixture of talents and backgrounds. So let's get that locked down. You know, once Ole was signed, that shouldn't be a problem.
And next tweet, at Rob_B on Twitter. It's no secret. #MUFC will be deliberately losing players from the squad this summer. The wage bill needs trimming to bring in fresh talent and allow our excellent youth to become part of the matchday squad. I trust OGS to make the right decisions to trigger the process. So kind of hinting at the, hey, you might love Herrera, but we can't just pay everyone just to pay them. We need to cut some, you know, stale wages like Herrera and maybe pay Pereira, right? Maybe have the youth come in. Because I actually do like the youth direction, the energy, the pace, a little more from the team with the Matic and the Herrera and the Pogba midfield looking pretty slow.
Look a little slow. And you know, as long as this is part of a greater plan to bring in fresh talent, you know, at 200K, okay, they decide that Herrera's not worth it. As long as you're bringing another midfielder that's going to plug in well, you know, Matic is getting up there. They're eventually going to have to replace him. So as long as the decisions are all being made to build us a squad that's going to be able to compete for the Premier League title, compete for cups next year, I'm fine with it. But if they're just like, oh, well, Herrera's not worth it, on to the next one. That's my only concern, is that we have no backup. And we're just we'll just find another one. Don't worry.
It might be that, unfortunately.
Because it's better to overpay a little bit for Herrera and keep him around instead of...
But we're linked.
I don't know what our options are.
We're linked with a lot of midfielders, though. We're actually been linked with a lot of different midfielders, and that could be because we know Matic is getting up there, and Herrera is probably headed out the door. But we got McTominay Pereira coming up. They can't be the solution.
Fred?
I mean, he's still
Fred's
on the team.
Fred's the next Herrera, mate.
I thought he was like trimming the bushes out back, like Obertan, sir. At United Extra. April is going to be some month. Come on, United. I mean, we all know tomorrow, Tuesday, April 2nd, we have Wolverhampton Wanderers away. Then the 10th, we have Barcelona. Unbelievable. The 13th, West Ham United. Nothing to shake your finger at. Chicharito. Then the 16th, Barcelona. You ever heard of that club, sir? And then we got Everton. We always beat Everton. I'm not worried about that. Shipping that to our friend who's the Everton fan. And then this is the real rub.
That's
tough. Because, like, you're like, okay, we play Barcelona. That's flashy. But the bookies have us getting bounced. you know, the mountains are there to be climbed. We can go through, you know, but
you never know.
You never say die.
You never. This is United.
Yeah, this is Manchester United. I'm going to say, hey, I'll take our chances against Barca. But where our bread is buttered here is Wednesday, the 24th of April, Sunday, the 28th. Tight turnaround. We got City and Chelsea, and this is basically our top four hopes here. Right, we there. Lose these two games, it is not a chance.
Yep.
We probably need to win and draw one to even still be in it, because Arsenal and Tottenham, they have like layup schedules.
No, Tottenham's got a tough schedule too.
I think they maybe have one big game. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's
Arsenal have nothing. Arsenal have like the easiest road by far. Tottenham have like an equally tough team. I mean, they just played Liverpool, but I think they have two more big teams. So.
Yeah, but they also had 3 points in hand against us, right? They just dropped those points. Now we're even, but I think we do have one. We play one tougher match than them, at least. So we have the hardest schedule running in, excluding Champions League, which is obviously difficult as well. But I'm more focused on top four. I say West Ham, no, not worried about West Ham. I am worried about Wolves, not worried about Everton, but it's the Chelsea City.
They are at home, fortunately.
So yeah.
It's better to be home than away, right? Oh, I would say, would you rather play at Old Trafford versus the Emirates?
Well, you look at that Watford game. I don't know if that matters, sir. And we, you know, we went to that PSG game at home in the Champions League. It looked good.
I mean, because we were playing before, when we were like smashing Tottenham, smashing Chelsea, even smashing Arsenal a month before we lost to them. I could beat anybody, but we're not playing with the same sharpness,
mentality
that we were playing with at the beginning of the reign, midway reign. Now we're like, you know, he's past the honeymoon phase and he needs to get the boys motivated. I think the best way to do it is fuck with the starting 11 a little bit.
Yeah, I think the best way to do it is just give him a deal. Give him the full-time job. We'll see if he figures it out. Sir, we have a next match. And like we said, we've been talking about the schedule. Wolves versus Manchester United at Molineux Stadium. It seems like we were there recently. We were in the FA Cup. Got bounced. Terrible performance, terrible way to go out. But we are back in the Premier League, and this is a must-win for top four. We have to get this game. We're going to need more than we had at home against Watford. And United have played Wolves 9 times in the Premier League. We've won 6, drawn 1, and losing 2. If you could believe it, we actually have a friend who's a Wolves fan, and he was slating us after the FA Cup win, texting me. And when Wolves fans are got one up on you, it's a tough time. That's all I got to say.
It's like LVG days. So let's knock him off his perch by reminding them who is the King of the North. And last time we played them in the Premier League, we won 5-0 in March 2012. Excuse me, last time we played them away in the Premier League was in 2012. That 5-0 victory, and we had goals from guess who? Evans.
Johnny
Valencia,
Evans.
Valencia. Danny Welbeck, and a brace from Chicharito. So I like the sound of 5-0.
Yeah, when was the last 5-0 we had at Manchester United? I mean, it's yeah, you're right. It was at Ole's first game.
You got it.
In charge there. Yeah, so, you know, the memory is fickle here when it comes to Manchester United. But again, we haven't felt like we've won a game comfortably in a little bit here. And the Wolves, like we said, knocked United out of the FA Cup 2 weeks ago at the same stadium. We have some injuries. Per the physioroom.com, Anthony Martial with a knock. He's expected to return shortly. Valencia, he's out on fitness, so he's healthy. Just need to get in shape. Eric Bailly has a concussion, so we're looking at mid-April for him to return. Sanchez, he had the MCL.
Done.
And I mean, they say return date, hopefully late April. But again, you think he's done, never going to play again. And then obviously, Matteo Darmian, he has a sideburn injury. he is out. And probably
the list has gotten shorter,
probably never playing again.
Right?
But yeah, the list has gotten shorter, but the player's coming back. We thought it'd be like a boost, and it's actually been it's kind of killing us. The Matic's of the world, the Herrera's coming world. I mean,
doing too much. We gotta not mess with the 11 too much. I would say Scotty boy, super Scotty McSauce. He's ready to step up against Wolves.
McTominay. All right, sir. You heard the injuries. What is your starting 11?
Sir, I have Dave Saves and net. Who else? And I'm going to do a back four, Young, Lindelof, Smalling, and Shaw. And a midfield 3 of Herrera, McTominay, and Pogba.
That same midfield.
Sorry?
Oh, no, you got McTominay and for Modric.
Yeah, yeah, I know Modric. He's out. Get on the bench. And then a front 3 of Lingard, Rashford, and Lukaku. Need a little bit more pace than Mata offers. And Big Rom back in the fold.
Yeah, if you need pace, Lukaku's your man, sir. I'm going to say Dave Saves, Young, Lindelof, Smalling, Shaw, same at the back. You know, this is one of those things where it's what do you want versus what you're going to get. I think we're going to get Herrera, Matic, and Pogba in the midfield. Mata, Rashford, Lukaku up top. Clearly, Martial out with a knock. I personally, if I was picking it, I'd like maybe a Herrera, Piera, Pogba in the midfield. But I think Matic is going to, I think he's going to play the, those are the best players on paper. I think you kind of look at it and you say, hey, maybe it was injuries, maybe something that we don't know about. So I think he might stick with it.
If, I mean, if he's going to lean on this team, right, like the core players in the midfield to perform back-to-back games in that schedule you just ran us through, right, where we're going to have three-day turnarounds, then he'll probably play the same team because he wants them to get fit and say, Matic, I need you to play in all these games, Barcelona, Chelsea, you know, City, Chelsea. You got to do it against Wolves. Or he's going to mess the team with the way that Fergie used to do it. So I don't
but
know.
But also,
how
you're
going to
be
this.
Like, Pogba's got to come good, right?
Pogba, he's playing. He's definitely playing.
The problem is, in modern day football, like, a Rooney was droppable. Like, Sir Alex would drop Rooney, be like, and it wasn't a big deal. It was like, hey, you need a game on the bench. You're kind of out of form. Like, you know, just train, like, relax a little bit, you know, take a week off. I'll get you back in there. And he comes in and scores. It seems like in modern football, Pogba has so much power. The player now has so much power in the club that he's undroppable. What, like, Ole, is he ever going to drop Pogba in any match, no matter how bad he plays, to the end of the year? Probably not. He probably doesn't have the political will to do so,
well,
right?
He's not going to last very long. He's not going to last very long at Old Trafford if he doesn't, right? Because eventually, this is going to come to a head, and he's going to need to chew him out in some capacity.
Well, you bench him, the papers go nuts. Real Madrid, this. Zidane makes a comment. I mean, like,
the
whole thing
is, through to a player, you have to do it. And that's, Ole's got to step up, and it's going to be a tough decision for him to make, is when you finally condemn Pogba for either not playing well enough or flirting too publicly to another team. He dismissed his quote, right? Very simple. Oh, it was not. He was just being a polite boy. But the performances, right? Like, if you're not playing well, we know how capable he is.
All right, so that's why we have bookies. Booking the bookies, Manchester United plus 103 to win away, Wolves plus 310, and the draw plus 253. Ironically, we are the heavy favorite. The draw coming in second, and Wolves winning coming in third, regardless of Wolves dominating and beating us in the last game. So I am not touching this bet with a 10-foot pole because Manchester United should be paying out way more based on the last result we saw 2 weeks ago.
No doubt. I'm not gambling
this
game.
No doubt. Yeah, you're getting nothing for it. Sir, your score prediction, what do you think?
Sir, 1-0. 1-0 United. We've got 3 points. It's nervy stuff. Lukaku header.
Sir, I called the 2-1 last week. I'm on a hot streak. I mean,
what do you got?
It's, do I go
5-0?
Do I go with my heart or do I go with my mind, sir? It's kind of, my heart says 6-0 United, hat trick from Paul Pete, you know.
Yeah.
Hat trick from
Marcus
Rashford.
What's your head tell you?
My head tells me something like a 1-1.
Yeah, I feel like
a 0-0. A 1-0 United. I have to say 1-0 United because we need these 3 points. It's a must when I can't predict us dropping points here, given we're going in for top four. It's all on the line, sir. It's all on the line.
I hope the boys know how important it is. We all do.
I hope they're listening because we follow this team all year and producing this podcast and going through the Mourinho days, coming back, getting this close to top four. We thought it was a no-brainer slam dunk. We lose to Arsenal. In such an important, we beat Arsenal at their house, like dance all over the board. Jesse Lingard doing the moonwalk in the FA Cup. When we go to Wolves, we get bounced out of the FA Cup. That win against Arsenal is worth nothing. And now Arsenal's laughing in pole position to make top four. And that's because we showed up on the wrong night in the wrong competition, sir. And that was a tough loss away at the Emirates. And if we lose top four, that is the game, because that would have put us as favorites to win the third spot. We would have had daylight. And that's just so frustrating because it was a mental game. We would have taken Arsenal's.
It would have. And that's the way football goes, right? Because we deserved to win that game, didn't win that game. But there have been some games that we didn't deserve to win that we did win. And that's why we're in the position we're in, which is still in it. And we wouldn't have been in that if we didn't have some of this luck. So got to like that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer magic fairy dust because he's still got some of it. But I just need to see the boys step up and just show up tomorrow. Just show up.
It's a little stressful, sir. Being a United fan right now, there's a lot on the line. We got the text thread lighting up. Arsenal fans, Chelsea fans, everyone talking smack. And it is going to be – it's exciting stuff if you're a neutral.
Chelsea fans talking smack. They're in a worse position than we are.
Yeah, I mean –
2-year transfer ban coming.
Getting offsides calls pretty easy. United in the news, sir. First article per the Metro, Gary Neville says Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has 4 or 5 players he wants to sell and just as many that he wants to buy as he's looking to reshape Manchester United's squad this summer. Where have we heard this before?
Apparently, we're looking to buy and sell players this year.
And we're looking to reshape the squad.
I think we need to.
Which I think we have every 2 years.
So, well, this sells papers, sir. What can I say? The Metro is fishing. They have a devoted reading crew of people that get on, you know,
hey, we read
get
the
on
Metro.
The tube.
We read the Metro in London when we go. But at the same time, the whole problem I have is the big takeaway is he wants to get rid of a lot of players. We're going to see that with Ed Woodward. These contracts, I'm sure some are up to him, some aren't, because they come down to the dollars and players leaving on a free. And that's what happens when you don't have a director of football and you have all these contracts due. You have a cliff in the same year that's going to determine a lot of our team. And the turnover, then we need people to come in. It seems like it is a shit show in Ed Woodward's office right now. To say he has any idea what he's doing is just nonsense. And the fact that we didn't hire the director of football in the January transfer window to literally start dealing with all this is insane. It's unbelievable.
And the time frames we've heard touted, we'd like to get it done in a number of years. We'd like to get it done by the end of the year, maybe by the summer. We'll have it. It should have been done by now. It should have been done, honestly, before Ole was even announced. So we need to make sure that happens before the end of the season, because otherwise we're going to be chasing our headless corpse around even more so than we would be, because everyone's looking for players this summer. A lot of players are coming out of contract. If Herrera's out, we have at least one midfielder to buy in addition to the players you need with Herrera. So we have a lot of work to do. Next news. Speaking of news and work to do, Manchester United and Inter Milan are said to be in competition over the signing of Ivan Rakitic in the coming summer. Barcelona are willing to pay or have paid £43 million for the player. So would you be interested in 31-year-old Rakitic?
Absolutely.
If Herrera was to leave?
And I rate Rakitic. I think he's going to be an upgrade to Herrera. And at £43 million, I mean, that's good business. So why not? He's 31, like you said, a little older, but he's got class, sir. He played great in the World Cup. And, you know, I think he could come off in England. So why not?
Another 29-year-old as well is Kroos, who I think he's out of a contract as well. So if they're actually playing 3D chess.
Not Kroos again, right? No, no one's playing 3D chess. Woodward's playing checkers. Everyone else is
blindfolded.
Playing chess.
He's playing blindfolded checkers.
I just, as a fan, with this whole Ole appointment, no director of football, all these contracts come and due, a lot of turnover in their squad. We've seen what turnover in the summer looks like. Remember when Van Gaal brought on all the players? It didn't come off. The whole squad reset. I think we now need to look at what we have and build around that in a smart way. I do agree there's deadwood to get rid of, and Ole is probably going to want to do so. But let's just really hope that, per the next article in the Daily Mail, Juan Bissaka is one of the players at the top of the shopping list for Manchester United, and that is exactly what we need. We need great youth players who are coming up. English as well, highly rated. Like, I think Slabhead, Bissaka, you know, there's a great midfielder on West Ham as well we're being linked to. These are the types of players Declan. I would like. Declan. I'd really like Manchester United to go this route versus, you know, I mean, you could say Rakitic's of the world, but bringing in all these piecemeal parts from other leagues hasn't worked out in the past. Young English talent, Sancho, etc. That would be, I mean, makes sense for the brand, makes sense for the players as well. I really like that route.
I mean, one or two stopgap players. Or you brought in a 29-year-old Kroos for a 29-year-old Herrera. That would make sense. If you're going to bring in a center back on the cheap, right, you can Alderweireld for $25 million for a couple of years because you want to put money elsewhere on the team. I could also get down with that. But this kind of purchase is always going to make sense. If $40 million is nowhere near close. It's going to be like $55 million, but you should be paying that kind of money for a player like this who is very good. Top, right back in the league already, and he's like 21. So if we can get him, we should get him because we haven't paid top money for a defender in forever. I was looking at a table that had the top 20 defender acquisitions of all time in football, and City, bro, is like number 2 to number 8. They're just like bang, 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 bang in a row. And the last time we did it was 2002, bro, on Rio Ferdinand. Great buy, but if that was the last time we splashed top cash on a defender, that tells you something.
Hey, I like Bissaka, Harry Maguire come in, Luke Shaw's left back. We got Chris Smalling.
Vron.
Yeah. No, Slabhead, bro. Slabhead. Hey. And then we got Bissaka. I mean, that's great. And then beef up the midfield. But again, we're going to dream here because
Edward,
who knows what Ed Woodward's doing? Who knows what he's doing, sir?
Yeah, and so we got another feature. You know, a favorite now is what grinds John's gears this week, sir? And what do you have for us as your issue of the week?
My issue of the week, we kind of addressed it, but it's just the POG drama. And I'm going to hit the nail on the head because a lot of fans this week on Twitter, they had some cutting words to say about his behavior as of late. And seeing him play in the form that he did play in for this team. If Pogba's listening, I got to say, you got to quit it. It's like, you got to show up and play, be a professional, and stop yipping. You know what it does. He knows the headlines in the press. He plays the game, and it's just, it's a detriment to this club and a detriment to our team, and one that's going to get him out the door. And I don't know why he would want to come back. Why would he come back to Manchester if he's going to play this game? It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't.
Well, maybe the winning the World Cup changed his outlook. Made him dream for bigger things. Maybe the ambition of the club doesn't match his own ambitions, right? He wants to be winning everything every year, and Real Madrid is an easier place to do it than Manchester United is right now, right? He's going to be down for a project, but he should be because he was at the academy. You think he'd have some ties to this club. I thought it was all of his family was close to Manchester.
I don't doubt his skill as a player on the pitch. He's one of the best in the entire world. Like, if you look at a Zlatan, it's all about the attitude, the mentality. Zlatan's always, he's a professional. He's going to go out there. He's like, I'm here to play. I'm here to score goals. That's what I should be rated on. If I don't score, yep, slate me. If I do, I told you so. That's the way it should be. It should be all about the football. But for Pogba, it seems to be all about the show, which, you know, is something hard to separate, right? And when you get into this all this Pog drama, it's like, when it stops becoming about the football, what he could do on the pitch, it seems like when he's playing well, he's not saying BS off of it. And when he's playing poor, he is saying BS off of it. And there's clearly a correlation I've seen over the last 18 months with Pogba kind of yipping in the press and then playing and sulking on the field. And I saw that at Watford.
And it's been the most obvious probably over the last 4 weeks, right? Because we had our first rough patch under Ole. And then we lost a game, lost another game. And then all of a sudden you start hearing a bunch of comments. And then he comes out for this game and you know what? Like, there are a bunch of players that didn't probably have a great performance, weren't running around as much as they should have been. Matic is one, but Pogba is younger than Matic.
Dude, Ole said captain. He mentioned the word captain. Paul Pogba, I want him to be the captain of United. Then he goes out and talks about Real Madrid. It's just one of those things that it grinds my gears. And I know it grinds a lot of the fans' gears out there, and I had to say it. I mean, it's kind of cliche to say what grinds my gears, Pog drama, but it's kind of getting to the point where, you know, it's starting to, the drama versus the benefit with Paul P, to me, it says, how much money? 225 Real Madrid? That doesn't sound too bad. That doesn't sound too bad, unfortunately. I wish it was the opposite. Marcus Rashford couldn't pay enough for him.
Yeah, don't get your hands off
no
on Marcus
offers.
But Marcus Rashford is different. He's been with the club since he was a kid, through and through.
Pogba was in the youth system.
Yeah, but for 4 years, when he joined when he was 14, so it's not the same.
Yes.
First joining when you're six. So he's a through and through lad. He's not going anywhere because this club knows just how important he is. And we'll treat him that way. And he knows how important United is at the end of the day, which a level I don't think Pogba truly appreciates. This club is one of the great clubs, probably the great club. So you shouldn't be looking anywhere else besides looking at Old Trafford and trying to win stuff for those fans.
Yeah, and what grinds my gears, subtopic of grinding my gears, sir, promo videos for Manchester United. Players who have gotten promo videos, Paul Pogba, Fred Sanchez, Ole, right? All these players who get all these promo videos for United. It's kind of the marketing machine is kind of a jinx as well, right?
Well, a commercial club over a football club. There you go, sir.
Right? It has a little theme. Fan questions. We got some more Pog drama here at @Kersu_ManUnite on Twitter. Is it me or was that Paul Pogba intentionally slowing down the game? Looked awful. Asking for that move to Madrid. ... Sir, what do you think? Is it more than just having a bad day at the office?
I mean, this is how he used to look when he went on, you know, riffs with Mourinho. So it's worrying. It's definitely worrying. He could be looking for a move. He could just be unmotivated. He could be distracted. But I think whatever it is, Ole needs to get a boot up his ass for the game tomorrow because it's all about Wolves and it's all about, you know, reacting to the underperformance. They got to know that the Watford game, it was a good result, but they did not perform up to snuff. You play that way against the Wolves, you will lose.
Next tweet, @MJFitz16 on Twitter. Quote, we need to replenish the midfield. Pogba needs to be more involved. Herrera and Matic have been awful. No impact. The other team's midfield bosses the games. We need some ball winners. I mean, I'm going to have to agree here. I think he did hit the nail on the head. The issue as of late has been that midfield. Looking for Ole to get some young blood in there, hopefully against Wolves.
And we have options, right? I mean, it's like there were days that we can remember where we didn't have a ton of options in midfield. We actually have some good players on the bench that can have an impact that have played against the top teams. McTominay, Fred, Pereira, give them a snuff. I mean, especially after that performance from Matic and Herrera and the rumors now that are coming out, I think it's due to put some other midfielders behind Pogba.
Sir, it's been a hell of a year, and it ain't over yet. You know, it's hard on the heart this season, but I'm glad that we're in the fight, right? I'm glad we are in the fight, and it is a hell of a battle, a knife fight for top four. But look, it's also been a hell of a year for this podcast. We want to give a shout out to the top cities the last 7 days. We really appreciate you guys. We're just trying to bring that organic fan voice from the side of the couch here in San Francisco, California. We really appreciate all your support and the downloads throughout the entire season, the ups and the downs, the Mourinhos and the Olays. Starting off here, Ashburn, Virginia, number one, top of the list last 7 days. In our hometown, San Francisco, California, coming in second. Sir, hit us with the next.
Number three, Hong Kong. Number four, Brooklyn, New York. And number five, Dublin, Ireland. How you doing?
Dude, happy St. Patrick's Day out to Dublin, Ireland.
There you go. Number six, Sacramento, California. Number seven, St. Louis, Missouri. Number eight, New York, New York. Sir, finish us off.
London, UK, coming at number nine, and Playa del Carmen, Mexico, coming at number 10. We really appreciate the downloads and the support. We are so close on the reviews. We have 99 reviews on iTunes, and we are giving away free stickers for a review. All you got to do is take a few minutes, drop us a nice comment, some hot banter. We've had some good ones. I think the latest one I read was, I love it when John takes back his hot take. When I eat those words, live on the podcast, sir.
Nothing better. Think it was better.
The one that stands out was Slayton Lukaku before he went brace, 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 right? I think that was like, Lukaku's done. And he must listen because he proved me wrong. But hey, when you call it wrong, you got to eat those words. That's the rule here on the American Red Devils podcast. So if you want a sticker, leave a five-star review for us on iTunes. That's how we get found, organic. That's what it's all about, and we'll mail you a sticker. You can email us your address and review to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com, or you can direct message us on Twitter @USAREDDevils. And another way you can support the podcast would be directly through our Patreon page. It is 2019, and Patreon is the easiest way to support content that you like and that we're curating. We have a lot of exciting things coming this summer for this podcast. Me and Alex are tripling down for next season and praying that Manchester United win the Champions League.
Not begging on it, but hoping for it.
I mean, all the effort, all the banter, all the matches we watch every single game, as we always do. The flags, the trips, everything, this podcast, and if we fell short of the top four mark, it'd be tough as a fan, especially having an Arsenal or a Tottenham celebrating above you. So we know what it means for the banter in the summer, so all in, top four, here we go.
It's all about, baby. And speaking of top four and speaking of reviews, one another excellent review I want to call out was the American Red Devils drinking game, which is every time you hear the word sir, you have to take a drink. So
don't recommend it.
As long as it's not too strong of a beverage. Not a shot.
Yeah, I don't know. One day me and Alex will try to play that drinking game. We'll pick a random podcast, see how long we can stand for. But on the Patreon support, you can find our Patreon page, AmericanRedDevils.com. Check it out. But like I said, sir, it's been a hell of a year. We got a strong finish come up. April is huge. Who would have thought April could be bigger than March? March bigger than February. Ollie's at the wheel.
How good does it feel?